Welcome to the Hyphen Church Podcast, where faith meets the spaces in between. We're here to explore what it means to belong, to grow, and to encounter God in the midst of life's questions and complexities. Whether you're here to listen, reflect, or take a step forward, know that you're in the right place. Let's make space together for what God is doing in us and through us. Now, let's dive into today's message.
Before we jump in, I just want to say thank you, you know, for allowing me to be here and to celebrate this, you know, really awesome milestone with everybody. It's not something small. It represents time and faithfulness and people that are showing up continuously and doing God's work and allowing Him to work in and through this community. And when you hear something like that, it's easy to focus on where something started and like where it is now. And having said that, I love a good before and after photo. I will scroll the internet sometimes just looking for like the most craziest before and after pictures. You know, this is what it was and this is what it is, what it's become. And that's so satisfying to me to see something better. And I've noticed that I've lived a lot of my life like that. I'm always wanting to know the outcome and I'm always wanting to see results. And I sometimes forget that even though it's taken me but a glance to see the difference between a before and after photo, there has been a lot of time in between the start and the end of that. And sometimes it's days and, you know, it could be weeks, years even. And in that time, the appearance isn't the only thing that's changed in the before and after photo. So there was planning before all of it took place. And there were probably paint samples and ideas on how to switch out the layout of the space. There were almost guaranteed multiple trips to the home improvement store for the supplies. There were also interactions. Like I think about that. There were interactions that happened between the people that were supplying the goods and the people that were buying them. And then there were lessons that were probably learned as well. Lessons like you really do need to measure twice and cut once. Or my favorite, that no matter how steady your hand is, it's always best to use painter's tape 100% of the time. But in the middle of that, in the middle of the before and after photo, it doesn't look like either one of those. So it doesn't look like your before and it doesn't look like your after. It looks like some unfinished idea that maybe somebody is still working on, but we're not sure. And I think a lot of the times that's where we get stuck. Where I'm going with this is that I think sometimes we expect our lives and especially our relationships to somehow work like before and after photos. We want to see the finished version and we want everything to feel completed and easy and like everything fits. But then when you actually involve real people and real relationships, it doesn't look like that and it doesn't feel like that at all. And I think that's probably why this question matters so much. It's that if Jesus brings new life to us, then why does living that life with other people feel so complicated? Why does something that's supposed to feel complete or feel like home just sometimes feels like a perpetual state of unfinished? What if part of the problem is that we expect resurrection life to look like a finished product, but most of the time, it just looks like something that's still being built? The Apostle Paul speaks directly into that tension. So if you would please turn with me to Ephesians. It's chapter 2, and we're starting in verse 14. If you'd like to follow along. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for us all having the opportunity to be here this morning. God, we ask you to set aside the distractions in our day-to-day lives so that we can feel you even more clearly and more surely as we sit in here together, gathered in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So what Paul is explaining here is it's a very different picture than what we experience. What he's saying is that, first of all, he starts out with a word that is very often misunderstood, and that's peace. I think we think of peace as something that's being absent of something. So it's free of tension. It's free of, like conflict. It's free of these things. But that's not what is being explained here. He says that he himself is our peace, meaning Jesus. And what this means is that peace isn't just something that Jesus gives. It's something that he is. And it's especially between people who would normally never be connected. Peace is the presence of a restored relationship. And we see this, destroyed the dividing wall of hostility. So in this moment, he's talking about a very real divide between these two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles. This wasn't like a he said I suck and then she said I was terrible. That's not that. It's very real. It was deep and historical, and it was this cultural religious divide between them. They didn't eat together. They definitely did not worship together. A lot of the time, they didn't even see each other as belonging in the same period of time as the other one. There were literal and symbolic barriers that kept them apart. Like even at the temple, there was an actual physical boundary that separated the Gentiles from being allowed to go into the inner courts where the Jews could go. So when Paul speaks of this dividing wall of hostility, it's not merely metaphorical. He's describing something that once they hear this, they're going to immediately recognize. And so what he's explaining is that what used to separate people at the absolute deepest level, identity and history and belief and access to God, Jesus didn't just come and ease that tension. He didn't smooth it over. He removed it. And so whatever that wall is, whatever keeps people separated or distant, it doesn't survive what Jesus has done. It's gone. And so that means that the kind of division that he's talking about, it's not something we're supposed to learn how to live with, okay? Because Jesus has already dealt with it. And if that's true, if Jesus has already dealt with something that deep and that historical and that ingrained, I think that forces us to ask, why do we settle for distance in the smaller things? Like, why do we still feel walls? It's because, yes, Jesus accomplished this, and it's true, and it's not in question. The thing is we're just learning, we're still learning how to live inside that truth. We're still trying to figure that out. I tried to figure out an illustration for this. This is the best thing I could come up with. It's kind of like being in a group project where technically everyone's on the same team, but nobody trusts each other to do their part. So they each do their own individual one, and then everybody turns theirs in together. But you're not actually working, nobody worked on it together. They just did like this part, this part, this part, and they turned it in. So you're connected on paper, but you're not connected in practice. And so that's what I mean when I say like we still feel walls. Because even though Jesus has already dealt with what divides us, we still tend to live like those walls are intact. Think about distance and assumptions and guardedness. Like when we assume what someone meant instead of asking them, it's never good. We always assume the worst. When we try to keep things surface level only because that's what feels safe. Situations like that. But even though Jesus destroyed this barrier, and even though we're still learning how to live inside that truth, so he destroyed the barrier, we're learning how to live inside that truth, we're also learning how to live like it's actually gone. So we're trying to accept it, yet also live that in the same time. And that's difficult. And that's where that struggle shows up in us. Because the resurrection doesn't just change our status with God. It reshapes how we live with people, and it reshapes how we associate with God as well. The good thing is that Paul doesn't just say like Jesus destroyed the barrier and now figure it out. He helps us to try to wrap our heads around this understanding. Because removing the wall is one thing, but knowing where we stand after it's gone is another. And so he starts talking about what we're now inside of. He tries to get us to understand what we're inside of by saying that we're not strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with God and members of his household. So that's an identity shift. And I think that's taken loosely right now because that's our understanding is something like, well, we just move or whatever. We move in with somebody else or, you know, move out of our parents' house and move in with a friend or something. This is an identity shift. We're not people standing outside the house of God. We're not even visitors. We're members of the household. That verbiage, like being members of a household, that's citizenship wasn't just a status. It was belonging. It was protection. It was identity. It was a shared life together. And so that means that sometimes a household wasn't just, it wasn't just people living in the same space. They shared an identity together, and it was a shared inheritance and a shared future. So when Paul says that we're no longer foreigners and strangers, this is radical. Because he's saying you're not just standing near God's people. Like you're them. You are his people. And that's kind of weird for us, though. Because we're still managing, if we're honest. Like, I don't know that we all always live like, oh, I know I'm part of, you know, I think there are parts of us on a very real level, we're part of something sacred, yet we still feel like we don't fully belong to it in a sense. And like, look at all the unsacred things. You show up somewhere and you still feel like you're on the outside. Maybe you know people pretty well, but you still feel unknown by them. Maybe you're just trying to work on being present, and no matter how hard you try, you're still disconnected. You just feel disconnected. Maybe it's like being at a table where everybody knows each other's stories, and they know everything about each other, and you're just trying to figure out where you should jump in and speak. I found myself in this exact position this past weekend. I was in a two-day meeting with a group of people, over 20 people. I'm going to be volunteering this summer at a youth camp, so we had a big meeting. And we're sitting in a room, and the tables are like a U, and I'm sitting at the back corner, so I've got a pretty good idea of everything. Every one of these people had they have been volunteering at this camp or being a part of it. Like they were a child, grew up at the camp, and then decided to volunteer. Every one of them, at least a decade or more. There were some people who, like, this is the mom and that's the daughter. They've come up together. And I was the only person there that had never served at this camp or, and actually, I'm not even affiliated with their denomination. So that was another thing that was a huge barrier. So it was quite intimidating, and I was there and I was nervous about, like, when do I speak up? When do I say something? It's not that I was unwelcome. It wasn't that at all. It was just me. I was in this new space. Everyone had a shared history, and I'm trying to step into that. What stood out to me was whenever I did speak, it did happen, thankfully, but there wasn't a hesitation or a distance from them in any way. I was welcomed like I'd been there the whole time, and it was such an incredible and encouraging feeling. And so I bring that up because I think this is part of what Paul is trying to get us to see, is that in Christ, you're not trying to find your place. You're not somebody like standing on the outside of the table and just hoping to be included. Like you're already there. And so what this means is that the walls that are broken down, they don't just affect how we relate to each other, but they affect how we see ourselves in the middle of it. Because that's different. We can, you know, how are we seeing ourselves? So I have a question that came to my mind, you know, do we actually live like we belong, or does it still feel like we're trying to earn our place? And I think that's something we'll probably have to ask ourselves multiple times, but right now is a good time to ask that. And when we ask that, the next question is, what would change if you really believed that you weren't an outsider anymore? You know, how would our lives change? Because I wonder, where are we still standing on the edge of something that Jesus has already invited us into? Because sometimes the biggest barrier isn't exactly, you know, what's the physical thing that's standing in between us. It's what we believe about where we stand. And it's the assumption that I'm still on the outside, even though I'm already technically in. You can't experience family life from the hallway. So if you're going to have a family dinner, you can't be in the hallway and partake in family dinner. If you guys are going to go to a family trip to the zoo, you can't hang out in the hallway and take a family trip to the zoo. That's kind of where I see this. It doesn't just change how you feel about other people. It changes how you participate with them. And it comes full circle here. So we look at, Paul takes into what we're becoming together, because we're not just being brought inside and then it ends. And we're not visitors, we're not guests. We're being built together. And this isn't the only place that we see this. Scripture continuously comes back to the fact that God is forming a people, not just individuals. It says that we're being built on the foundation with Christ as a cornerstone. And the cornerstone, I just recently learned, everybody probably knows, except for me, but for those of you that don't know, it was the one stone that was laid before everything was built. And it had to be perfect, and if it wasn't lined up in like the perfect way, if it was off even a millimeter, the entire everything else would be, it would crumble eventually. Our cornerstone is Jesus. And he's referred to that numerous times in Scripture. And we're being built together into a dwelling place for God. And that's not like, oh, that's a good image to think about. That's a huge claim. So he's saying that God just doesn't save individuals. He creates a people where his presence is living and dwelling and moving and actively moving. But it's also important to know that that isn't rushed. And it's not always clean. And it definitely doesn't always look impressive in the moment. Building something that lasts takes time. It takes learning from other people. It takes working through things together. It takes camaraderie. And it takes showing up time and time again, even when it gets hard. And that's why it can feel frustrating. You know, like we expect something finished. We want it done. It's easier that way. And we're expecting that while God is still actively forming, He's still forming us. And so that means, though, that it's not just about you and God anymore. It's not just about Nicole and God. It's not just about Pam and God. It is about us and God. It's about what God is doing among us. We're so used to thinking that faith is private. I don't know where it came from. We're thinking that it's something personal and individual, and this is my faith journey. This is what I'm doing. This is what God is showing me. And yes, there is a time and place for that. But this is showing us that the resurrection creates something visible and it's shared. And it's something that you can step into and be a part of. In the Old Testament, God's presence was tied to a place, the temple. We're being taught here that people are the place, not the building and not an event, but the people. What that means is that relationships are restored. What it means is that when they are restored, we're choosing honesty over hiding. Grace is replacing distance. People aren't just getting along better. That's not what this is. It's evidence of God's work in and through us. And so I think that that's a lot of the reason why it feels unfinished, our lives, our journeys, whatever. It's because it's still being built, but we don't understand that. We aren't looking at a finished project. We're living in the middle of something that God is building. You don't walk into a construction site and expect things to be done. You don't expect it to just be, whoop, it's done. What you expect to see are tools everywhere. You expect to see things that are half done. You expect to see parts that make literally no sense. And the middle of construction does not look impressive. I don't care if it's the Eiffel Tower, the Statue of Liberty, our house, it doesn't look impressive. It looks like garbage and it looks weird. But after it, it looks pretty great. And then things start to make sense. That doesn't mean that nothing's happening when we're in the middle of it, is kind of what I was trying to say. When we see that it's all messy and you don't understand and it's worthy of being questioned, it's definitely worthy of being questioned, it doesn't mean that nothing's happening. It just means that you're seeing it before it's finished. That's all that means. And if that's true, then what changes? Well, it does change. It changes how we see what's happening, or at least it should. Because God is building something, and He's using His people to do it. And that doesn't mean that this is just something that you attend. It means something that you're a part of, that God is using you to build. Our question isn't, am I here? Like, that's not just the question. It's, am I actually stepping into what God is building, or am I staying on the sidelines of it? Because we don't get to be the buildings by ourselves. Like, that's not it. It's not like, it's all of us together. We're all together. And it only works if we all do it together. So we can say it all the time, but it doesn't work. It does not work unless we actively do it together. But it doesn't happen all at once. It's slow and it's imperfect, just like every great thing. And just because something is slow and imperfect doesn't make it any less real. It just means it's still in the process. It's kind of like a church plant. It isn't something that happens overnight. It's something that God has actively been building over time. And there are seasons when things feel clear and things feel strong. And there are other seasons where maybe it feels messy and uncertain. But here you are. I think when milestones happen, they aren't just moments to celebrate what God has built and what God has brought so far. And look at, you know, this. It's a reminder that God is still building. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of how you think it ought to look, this is God's movement and God's working. And it's not just a nice idea. It's evidence of what is real. It is evidence of Him moving. I think one of the clearest pieces of evidence that Jesus is alive is what happens when His people choose to live like He is. And when they do it together. I don't think you can get much more evidence than that. We're going to make it simple. So if this is true, if Jesus has already torn down the walls, and if you already belong, if we already belong, and if God is actually building something through us together, this part becomes a little personal when we ask ourselves, what am I holding back from that? Where am I still choosing distance where I've already been brought near? Where am I just settling for that surface level when I've been invited to something a lot deeper? Because when you step into something, what God is doing, what He's building, it's not usually dramatic. It looks like being honest, being open, moving towards someone or some people instead of away, choosing to let yourself be known instead of hiding. It looks like small decisions that say, I'm not going to continue living like the wall is still there. And that's the invitation. Don't stay in the hallway while your family's going out to dinner or going to the zoo. Don't stand outside something that Jesus already brought you into. Like, we're there. But it's not perfect. And it didn't all happen at once. And it's not going to. But it's going to be intentional. That every bit of this, every step that this movement, that this community has made, has been intentional. We can't experience what God is building by watching. You can only experience it by participating. Just like whenever you watch sports and all that jazz, watching a horse run, you know, we weren't riding horses, but we saw it happen. We weren't part of it, you know. You experience it by participating in it. And you don't have to have it all figured out for the love of God. We do not have to have it all figured out. And that's very difficult for a lot of us because we're so daggone tied to planning everything. And we're so scared to make ourselves vulnerable. Like, it doesn't have to be figured out. Just take a step. It just takes that first step. And once you do that, He will move. You will see Him move. Because, the truth is, you don't rise alone.